When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame Capricorn Incarta.
Capricorn. Yes, you're a Capricorn.
No, I'm actually a Libra.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, because I guess they did something with astrology where technically, if you did the math, you would actually be like 20 days ahead or behind of your sign. So technically, I'm probably not a Libra. I'm probably either the one ahead or the one behind Libra. I don't know which one is which.
Interesting. So, if I believed in any of that stuff, I am a Virgo, according to normal stuff, without the 20 days, give or take, whatever thing. You know, and it usually describes me pretty well, so I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I mean, with mine, yeah. But I changed my name to Capricorn this week because, once again, we are exploring the, what I like to call the corny cinematic universe, or the Cornyverse for short.
Yes.
And our friend Corny Capricorn, the alien exchange student who, I'm afraid, has severe mental problems that have been unchecked, undiagnosed, and untreated. And frankly, I think there's a lot of abuse going on in his Earth family of just sheer neglect. But we could talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, we will. There's also other neglect. I mean other abuse in that family, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, as you've mentioned, we are covering yet another adventure of Corny the Alien, Capricorn the Alien. This one called Being Scared. What is it? Being Scared and Feeling Brave?
No, Feeling Scared.
Feeling Scared and Acting Brave. That's it. Feeling Scared and Acting Brave, The Kid's Guide to Courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which there's like hardly any information about on the internet.
I'm so surprised, honestly, how little information you could find. They made 9 of these videos, and there's 5 of them you could find on YouTube.
Only one of them is on the Internet Movie Database.
I just don't understand how the internet can have so much information about almost any subject. And yet, there are some things where you literally just can't find, like, no one wrote about this, like the billions of people in the world.
It's a conspiracy.
I'm starting to wonder, actually, because I did read an article a few days ago about how Google's search results have gotten just terrible over the past few years. And so, there actually might be websites out there for the information that we're looking for, and we just can't find it because it's, like, buried underneath, like, thousands of pages of Google, you know? So, like, for all we know, there could be a website that had everything about Corny on it, like a whole total corn fan, you know, and
it's a cornspiracy.
It's a cornspiracy. They don't want kids to act brave.
No.
And to escape predators by touching a zapper watch that zaps you into like old people's houses.
Oh, no, there's a lot of information on that one, but
true.
That's the only one. Like the Street Smart one is the only one that we get like a lot of information about online, and I think that's just because of Eddie Burbeck.
Yeah, because he covered it. Yeah.
I'm sure it probably wouldn't have been available besides that. Maybe it was. I don't know. Prior to him, but you know, nothing ever happened prior to him existing on YouTube.
No, nothing.
Yeah. So in this film that was based on a story by Renan Hewlett and Lonnie Bradley, with a script by Joan E. That's it. Like, the last name is the letter E.
Okay, Joan E. I gotcha. All right.
And directed by Steve Exkline, Ecclesine. I only know all this stuff because I watched the credits and wrote this all down. So... Yeah, because I knew there was nothing online that I could have, so I had to write down the credits myself. Yeah, and we have Chris Bono as Corny this time. He's replacing Richard Stephen Horowitz, who plays Corny in, as far as I can tell, every other incarnation of Corny. Do not know why they recast him for this one movie.
Well, I have an idea. I think it's because they had to pay for Alan Thicke, and I don't know.
So they couldn't afford Richard Stephen Horowitz?
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Because at the time, he wasn't really anybody big. I mean, after this came out, he became the voice of Invader Zim and other things.
See, that's why, because the corniverse is what projected him into
alien to roles.
Yeah, another alien voice, exactly. Yes. So.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, Chris Bono or Bono, Bonno is how it's pronounced. I mean, spelled. Stars as Corny. We have Taryn Noah Smith as John again here. He was in the last one we covered. Laura Morgan as Kate, this newspaper delivering friend of theirs or something, or bike friend or whatever. Yeah. Margaret Nagel is back again as Judy, John's mom, and Corny's Earth mom. We have Joe Adams as Dave, as the Earth dad here. Scott McAfee as the school bully. That's what he is in the credits. He doesn't have a name. He's just school bully. Yep. We have Donzelli Abernathy as Miss Parsons, the school teacher. Marn Andrews as Miss Wisdom Tooth. Eleanor Cumgys? Cumegys?
I don't know
how to pronounce that. As Donna the nurse. And then America's favorite dad, Alan Thicke, as Dr. Dresden the dentist. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the other one we had Dick Van Patten in. Another one of TV's favorite dads playing the grandpa. But now we've got Robin Thicke's dad.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Yep, have some blurred lines here, and wait, I don't even know what that meant. But don't sue me, Marvin Gaye's estate. Ooh. Oh boy, yeah. So, what are your initial thoughts of this episode in the Cornyverse?
All right. So, the more I watch these videos, the more entranced I become. But there's also this feeling of dread, I guess, if you will, no pun intended. Where it's just watching Corny becoming so manic. And the dude's definitely got some ADHD, like extreme version of it. And
oh yeah,
nobody's helping him for it whatsoever. Everyone seems to enable him, in fact, or kind of, you know, egg him on, which is probably not very good.
Well, maybe there's no medication for Zarkons or whatever.
For Zarconians?
Zarconians. Maybe there's no medication for Zarconians that helps with mental issues. I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, human dentistry does work. So I'm not sure how that works. But yeah.
Maybe that's another one of the videos that we haven't seen yet. It's a kid's guide to antidepressants.
Yes, exactly. So the Corns, you know, he's having his dream. I mean, yeah, so just, yeah, my feelings about it is that, you know, to go on the lore here, a little bit of lore, is that the whole point of Corny Capricorn being sent from the planet Zarkon to Earth was for him to teach his fellow kids, you know, Earthling kids, how to be street smart and to avoid stranger danger. So that was the whole purpose. Was he was an ambassador for Zarkon, and he was going to be the example set for the Earth children. But what happens in the first video in the series is that he's the one making all of the mistakes, and it's all of his friends are the ones telling him where he went wrong. And so I don't know, some wires got crossed. I'm not sure what happened here, but then that attitude continues into the second episode of the series, which is this one, where he has a cavity that I can only assume is at least 3 years old, and I'm not sure how nobody noticed it until now, or how mysteriously
it was tooth rot. It was not a cavity.
And how he felt no pain during any of this time. Also, the fact that this was literally one of his front bottom teeth. So it's not something that can go unnoticed. Very obvious.
Yeah.
You would see it the second he smiled. And you know he smiles because one of his famous quotes is a smile goes a mile. So there's not a chance that nobody in his Earth family, particularly his Earth parents, who are supposed to be the ones to look after him for such matters, did not notice it. But yet his Earth parents are depicted as these saintly beings who always have Corny's best interest at heart, always paying attention to him and making sure he's okay. I call BS on that. Just saying.
I mean, the whole smile goes a mile thing is such a important quote that it's on his tombstone.
Oh, Corny's dead? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. He died of a heart attack that was caused by neglect to his teeth.
By the Pfizer vaccine?
No, not by then. No, but no, it was just neglect. Oh. No, neglect to another tooth in his mouth. Another one of his another one of his chompers, and it led to a heart disease, and then he died.
That's right. Not munchers. No, they call them munchers.
No, munchers. What did I call
Zark?
I don't know.
You call it choppers. What? It doesn't matter. Bullshit. Anyway, so yeah, that's how I feel about it. It's very erratic, very manic. You know, I always get the idea to watch these things, and then it sounds like a good idea at first. Then I watch it, and I just realize how insane and chaotic Corny is, and like how this was somehow supposed to be like cool for kids to watch. Like they would watch this and think this is cool. Like this like reminds me of what an adult would make who doesn't know what kids think are cool, and then makes that thinking that that's what kids think is cool. That's what I think this is about.
That's totally what it is. I mean, my feeling on it is that they don't understand kids at all, and they just had this cool alien costume and needed to do something with it, so they just didn't bother to actually care about what they were writing. There are, I found online, the videos for the adults that go in hand in hand with these videos.
Okay.
That are like the parents' guides and the teacher's guide or whatever for these videos to help you.
They mean other ones?
Well, no, basically what they are is there's like a video that goes along with this video. Like this is what this is what you would show the kids in class. But then there's another one that like the teacher would watch so then she could know how to teach the class while they're watching this video.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. I did not watch them, but I found them online. So
that is awesome. Probably boring. But
yeah, it's pretty much like, you know, things will appear on the screen every so often. They'd be like, you know, asking a question.
Right. Like, what would you do? Or
yeah. And at those points, I guess the teacher is supposed to like pause the video and then talk to the class about what they would do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And the parents and teacher's guide will like walk the teacher through, or the parent that's showing these videos to their kids through it, so they can help help teach the kids what how to learn and how to not be afraid and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what goes on in this masterpiece of a film?
This masterpiece. All right. So Corny is having a nightmare where inflamed tooth is chasing him while he's riding his bike, and then he wakes up screaming like a sound like a siren, to be honest.
I mean, the tooth, it was like CGI that rivaled the effects in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It might have been a little bit better, actually.
Exactly.
And then so he wakes up and the newspaper girl, which I thought was his sister, but I guess it's just like a friend or whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
She's I think she's like a friend because she was like admiring all of his toys on this day. Like, oh, you got a lot of cool toys. So I think your sister would probably already know what kind of toys you have. You know what I mean? So she's like paper girl, and she's like knocking it out of the park. I mean, she's throwing papers directly into people's mailboxes, like without like any mistakes whatsoever.
I mean, she could teach Scott and the Buttercream Gang, you know, how to do things a lot better than
absolutely. Scott's a total piece of shit at that, but like and then, you know, miraculously the window was just happens to be open for some reason at 6:30 in the morning while both Corny and John are asleep, and then so she walks in and throws newspaper at Corny's head, and first thing Corny does is "you scared me," and then starts laughing like hysterically like he's on drugs. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of a weird reaction. To Corny does a lot of laughing in this episode, like too much laughter.
You know what I always find weird about like a lot of TV shows and movies where the window is open, but there's no screen.
Yeah. Like, it's like, okay.
Do they not care about like flies and bees and other animals, other birds or anybody coming into their window? You know,
don't get it.
A burglar.
I don't understand it, yeah.
Well, I mean, not that a screen's going to stop a burglar, but you know.
Well, no, but it's just, I don't know. And then, so he starts laughing hysterically because he's something wrong with them. And then he holds his mouth and like, ah, my muncher or whatever. And then they're like, oh, let me see. And then he shows his mouth. Obviously, this cavity looks like it's been there for like 18 years. I mean, this is like total tooth rot, like not even the cavity, like total. And again, it's right in the front of his mouth. It's one of his bottom teeth in the front. There's no way that this could have been missed by anyone. And then his friend, she like is like a jokester or whatever, and then she's like, oh, Corny, ask me what time it is. And he's like, what? He's like, come on, just ask me what time it is. And he goes, it's 2:30.
Yeah,
get it? Like 2:30.
I cringed so hard when that happened. Her delivery was horrible too. It's just like,
no. I know. Like embarrassed, yeah, for her, basically.
And then John's like a complete dick to him.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand what that was about. He's like trying to like intentionally scare him. Well, that's the other thing too about it. So this whole episode is about, you know, feeling scared, acting brave or whatever. And then and so they proceed for like the first half of this 47 minute long episode, like making going to the dentist like the most scary thing possible. And it's like, why would you do that if someone's already scared?
Yeah,
scare them even further, like, and then tell them to be brave after the fact that you've already completely scared them, which I don't understand. Okay. And then
It kind of reminds me in a weird way. Like years ago, I had an apartment break in. Like somebody broke into our apartment when me and my ex were out to lunch.
Yeah.
Then we're sitting there waiting for the cops to come, so we can file our report and everything. And my ex decides that, hey, now is a good time to watch Criminal Minds.
Yeah. Like, well,
yeah, this is going to make me feel a lot safer and better here.
Totally. Hey, some people, they, you know, it's weird. Like some people watch, like horror films to like help them not be scared. So I guess it just
yeah, I know.
You know, it's like, I don't know, but apparently that was what they had in mind when they made this movie, this masterpiece, this Corny piece, because they got like this, they got like Alan Thicke with like a huge power drill, like about to cut Corny's mouth open and like taking his teeth out and like showing him the teeth in his hands when he's wearing these weird like gloves and shit like that. I'm like, okay, this is supposed to like help kids not be scared to go to the dentist.
Well, every time I go to my dentist, he actually looks like that. He's got the big wild hair.
He's got the wild hair. And,
yeah.
Yeah. The lightning storm in the background.
Yeah, I like it. I find it relaxing.
Yeah, anyway, you know, so the Corns, Jonathan is being a complete ass to him. So, like, they have pancakes for breakfast, and that's Corny's favorite. So, you know, he wants to eat pancakes, but his mouth hurts. So John is, like, egging him on to eat more pancakes, even though Corny is done because his mouth hurts. So then Corny then tries to, you know, eat more, and he screams, yelps in pain because his mouth hurts. And then that's when the parents find out somehow now, after all these years that he's been living there or whatever, that, oh, you got a cavity. We didn't notice that.
Well, actually, who knows how long he's been living there? Because yeah, this is the second episode in the thing. The first episode, he has Zarconian parents, but we don't see them.
So apparently the Zarconian parents are the ones to blame here.
And they lived in the same house as this family. So my thing is like, did the Zarconian family get kicked out of there and replaced by John and his family?
Yeah, that's right. Because in the first episode, his actual parents are there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And because you see Scott mowing the lawn, though, in that episode with his shirt off.
Scott.
I mean, not Scott. Yeah. So I'm talking about his Earth dad. What's his name?
Oh, Dave.
Yeah. I was thinking, I don't know why I saw his name was Scott. Yeah. You see Dave.
Dave's in
mowing
that
the lawn. Was that?
Dave is in that one?
I think so. I think he's mowing the lawn at one point, but like he's not doing it. That's like the only thing he's in is him cutting the grass.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that one, so I don't remember. So yeah,
it looks like, yeah, maybe it's someone else, but someone's mowing the lawn and we have no idea who. I think it's supposed to be him, but yeah. So maybe his Earth parents got kicked out of the house, or they just decided to leave, or maybe they came with Corny to stay with him for a little while to kind of ease him in to living on Earth, and then they went back to Zarkon. Maybe that's my theory, my head canon here.
Yeah, I still know why John wouldn't have been walking to school with him and everything then, too.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And then,
Well, John is a dick, so.
John is being, like, a real dick in this episode. I don't understand what his problem is. He's not being a good friend. But the other thing, too, is, like, they have these weird scenes that are, like, supposed to, like, show conflict, but they're just done so horribly, and it doesn't make any sense, to, like, why. Like, we're like, oh, we gotta have conflict at some point during this episode, so we're just gonna do some random thing to make the one friend mad at the other friend, but then they make up, but then the very next scene we have to have another conflict for some reason, and then makes no sense why that would happen. It just, it makes it feel just really forced and stupid. Anyway, I'm like jumping. So what happens after the breakfast? Can you tell me?
At first they're going off to school, and he, Corny somehow zaps himself into a cow stampede where, for some reason, everything's in black and white and really bad stock footage.
Yep.
Because, you know, at least he didn't get, you know, zapped into a hot tub with an old couple.
So that's a plus. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, I guess getting stampeded by cows or getting molested by an old couple, I don't know which would be worse.
Exactly. Or a plane crash. Guess that was the other part.
Yeah.
Later on, he zapped himself.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm going to go with, I guess, the molestation would be worse. The other one, you just died.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We don't really know the old couple's intentions, but they did seem kind of interesting, which is weird. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they don't get too much action, so it's probably...
No.
So he zaps himself, and, you know, there's like... I'm trying to remember exactly what happened next, because I haven't watched this in over a week. So,
Yeah, I watched it three times. I can probably go...
Yeah, all I know is I've got notes here, and I got a note. My next note is, why does the vending machine look like it's from 1965?
Yeah.
It's, like, not a modern vending machine at all, and it has the weirdest you know, like, products inside of it too, so yeah,
like just like generic candy basically.
Yeah, like, but it's like generic Twinkies and other things too. Yeah.
And for some reason though, he just pushes all the buttons and it just gives him a whole bunch of candy for one quarter, which I'm pretty sure that's not how vending machines work.
Yeah. And well, I guess if you break it, and those old school vending machines were weird. I mean, I remember there was one like that somewhere when I was a kid. I don't remember where it was, but it was somewhere that I went often. And if you messed with the buttons every so often, something would come out, even if you don't put quarters in.
Wow.
Yeah. But most of the time, those vending machines, they did have candy ones that looked like that one too. But I always associate those with cigarette machines.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. But I don't know. It's hard to say. But yeah, it was just, it's just a weird vending machine. And plus it's just kind of hanging out by a staircase outside.
It's an awkward place.
Yeah.
To put it. And so he gets a bunch of candy and then he goes into class, right? And that bully trips him up and he spills all his candy on the floor. And then the teacher starts talking about, how to take care of your teeth. How convenient.
Very convenient. It's National Dental Health Week.
Yeah.
Contrived narrative. Yeah.
Exactly. And then she's like, what's bad for your teeth? And then the friend, you know, the girl, is just like listing off all the candy on the floor that's Corny's. And she's like, that's right. It's all bad for you. And it's like, Corny does not take the fucking hint. Like, you mean all this food I just bought is bad for my teeth, as I have like an entire tooth that's completely all cavitied out? Maybe I should chew some more fucking bubble gum. You know, that should help matters.
And before that, go ahead.
Yes,
I was saying, before that, though, he gets tripped by this bully that we talked about there for a second. The teacher kind of just, like, looks at it and doesn't do shit. Ignores the fact that one of the kids in her class is being abused. I think it's Zarconian racism or something here.
I do think there's some anti-Zarconian racism involved in these movies, where they kind of treat Corny kind of like a mascot. And to be fair, Corny kind of leans into that himself, but at the same time, you know, you should, you know, not egg that person on. Let them kind of have them show a little bit more self-respect instead of, you know, egging them on to act all like weird and stuff. But anyway,
But you know, when everybody's treating you like shit and ignoring you and letting you be bullied, there's no wonder that he's afraid of everything.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of psychological trauma that he's facing and that no one seems to care about, least of all his teachers and their parents and his best friend, Jonathan. But anyway, so he leaves or whatever. That's the other thing too. So more abuse going. So she finds out that he's got a cavity because they just told her. And then she goes, gives Corny a glass of ice cold water and tells him to demonstrate to the class how to swish his mouth to get any food residue between his teeth. So then, and he even specifies to her that he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't really know how to swish. She's like, I don't care, do it. So he does it, and then he does this weird like dance routine move for some reason, because that's what you do when your tooth hurts, is that you start doing like some weird dance move. I don't know.
Yeah,
and then
the physical comedy that, I mean, Chris Bono does is nowhere near as good as Richard Stephen Horvitz did in the other movie. It's like, no. he's I mean, no offense to the guy, he's just,
No offense. But yeah, and so, you know, teacher just goes and just gives him a glass of ice cold water, knowing that he's got a freaking cavity. What the hell is that about? So then after he does his weird dance routine, they speed everything up to make it look comedic, I guess. That was their intention. And then gets bullied some more because he's buying more shit at the vending machine, even though he's not supposed to. And then the kid like smushes his Twinkie up against his, you know, his stupid suspenders he wears or whatever. That's the other thing too.
Overalls. Yeah,
I don't know why he wears those dumb clothes, whatever. And then and nobody else is wearing them, but he wears his stupid overalls. And then probably to you know, because he's wearing a suit underneath there, so they don't look stupid or whatever. But and then they're like, oh, you gotta take care of that bully, he's never gonna leave you alone. So then, you know, he kind of yells at him, but then he chickens out, you know, after the kid comes back. By the way, the kid's wearing like this weird kind of shirt. I don't even know what it is. It's like a t-shirt with like not like holes in it, but like,
it's one of those Back in the like 80s and 90s, they had those like, they're like kind of like netting shirts that like basketball and baseball and football players would wear when they're like training and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah.
kind of what it looked like to me, because I remember I had some friends used to wear those a lot, and I thought they were stupid because I was just not into sports. But
right. Yeah, so he's wearing that dumb shirt, and then Corny. By the way, so like the first like 25-30 minutes of this movie, he's not even gone to the dentist yet. Like, it's like a whole bunch of other random shit goes on, basically just to make the episode last longer, I'm assuming. Because we get into this weird conflict between Jonathan and Corny, because Jonathan confided in the Corny that he's scared of delivering public speeches to basically assuage Corny into thinking that, hey, I'm afraid of things too or whatever.
Yeah, this is before they go to bed, and Corny goes to bed in his fucking overalls too. But
yeah, that's right. That's the other thing. He sleeps in his fucking school clothes, whatever. And then and then Corny, like a complete fucking moron, the next day starts talking about it right in front of the girl. This time she threw the paper even harder at Corny's head. Again, after knowing he's got the cavity, she threw the newspaper even harder at his head than the first time when she didn't know that he had the cavity. So I'm only assuming that she did this intentionally in order to inflict more physical pain on the Corny. So this is like his friend group he's got going on here, where they're not really friends. It's like the friend group who has like the weird kid to kind of hang around them.
Yeah.
He's not really an equal to them. It's more of just like to kind of make fun of him, or to kind of use as like a punching bag.
I'm telling you, it's a metaphor for racism. I'm telling you.
No, it is.
It's totally completely that they you know, it's yeah. it's how we treat the other, you know, quote yeah. unquote other. Yeah.
There's very, very deep metaphors. At one point, though, the bully actually even called him space bait. That was when he mushed the Twinkie on his overalls.
I mean, that's like the N-word.
Well, I don't know, but it could be. In the Cornyverse, we don't know. We don't know what's going on in the Cornverse, but I imagine it could be, just depending on context. But and so...
You know what? You know, it'd be even better instead of calling it we could call it a unicorn. It's like a universe, but it's...
Oh, yeah, the unicorn. Okay, that worked, too.
One stray observation here, too, about Corny.
Sure.
The way that Chris Bono plays him, and I don't know if it's because of the mask he has on and if they're recording the audio live or if it's dubbed later, I can't tell. But he sounds like a mix between Bobcat Goldthwait and Pee Wee Herman with a mask on. That's just what he reminded me of. And I mean like 80s, 90s Bobcat Goldthwait, not like modern day Bobcat where he doesn't do the crazy silly voices.
Right.
The Bobcat. Yeah, the Bobcat I met a few years ago. Doesn't do that. So
no. Yeah, I could see that. And so they go to class again, and this is time I'm probably skipping over a few things, but it's better.
Okay.
And then they go to class, and this time they have the Miss Wisdom Tooth, and she's dressed up as a giant toot, and they're teaching the kids how to floss. And then Corny, again, with the extreme ADHD going on, he's cutting off his circulation so hard on one of his fingers, and it looks like his finger is about to literally explode. And then the girl, you know, their friend, the one that abuses him physically by throwing hard papers at his mouth, she was dressed as a pirate because she was doing a report on, was it Captain Hook or was it something else?
Captain Kidd or something. But before that, I just want to talk about this Miss Wisdom Tooth.
Sure.
Because I have many, many questions. Okay, first off, when she enters the room, the kids are way too excited to see this woman in a tooth costume.
Oh, I know, yeah.
They've got this look on their face like, you know, like, I don't know, Johnny Depp just walked in the room or something.
Right.
So then later she's like rubbing this rope all around her to pretend it's like floss and stuff, and then gets kids involved. And there's some kind of like sexual energy there to me.
Was there? I didn't really pick up on that.
She seemed like she was way into it, and it kind of creeped me out.
I think she was just trying to show like the relaxing feeling of cleaning your teeth, and maybe just went a little too overboard with it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that's probably the case, but they should have thought about that. And
they don't think about this. I mean, like, again, they had Corny going into the middle of a hot tub with some two old people about
exactly.
Episode about stranger danger.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of sexual undertones in the Cornerverse or the unicorn.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the cocaine when they're writing this and stuff. And
the one last thing I have to say about her is, okay, is this lady's full time job?
Maybe.
Is she just another teacher there that dresses up like a tooth every so often? Does she Probably. Just dress up as other things? Like, is she like the local sports ball team's mascot or something? I don't know. You know, these are just thoughts I had while watching it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no explanation. She could be any of those things, or she could literally just be a human tooth. That could be it, too. And, I mean, because we live in the Cornyverse where aliens are real, and Corny is an actual person from the planet Zarkon.
Because I remember learning about dental health in grade school and stuff when I was a kid. Never saw a woman dressed up like a tooth.
I don't know. I guess you weren't blessed, you know, with that.
Do you have dreams that you want to achieve but are scared to do so due to self-doubt, fear, and other people's criticism? I have just what you need. You need a dose of the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, where I interview guests that will motivate and inspire you to stop at nothing to achieve your dreams. And always remember, if you believe, you can achieve.
The Living the Dream with Curveball podcast is available on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, everybody. Why don't you give the old Black Lincoln Collective podcast a listen? We're funny, we're fat, and we're here 24/7 at blcpodcast.com. Anytime you want to listen, anywhere, all your favorite podcast apps. Of course, we have a YouTube channel where you can stream live with the show. Check out our shorts. We're funnier the less you hear of us. That's been a Black Lincoln Collective podcast at blcpodcast.com.
And so Corny, being all ADHD and shit and just like totally hyperactive, he's like making all these stupid sounds and stuff when he's like pretending to brush his teeth. And like he ends up, like I said, like cutting off the circulation of his thumb or one of his fingers.
Yeah.
And it's like about to blow up.
Yeah.
Then the pirate girl is like, is it safe to, she's like laying on the floor because she's worried his finger's going to explode or whatever. And then like at one point, you know, you got Miss Wisdom Tooth like telling him how to brush his teeth. And then like, you know, you got all the other kids just normally brushing their teeth and got Corny over here going like, making all these stupid sounds. Like, how do you not get annoyed with this guy? Like, you know, and then like at one point he's like, flossing, or he's got like the dental floss, and he's like, this is fun, and he like screams laughter. I'm like, okay,
that was a good impersonation.
Okay.
Yeah, you sounded just like him.
It's like this guy's got problems. Like, there's definitely something going on with him, because like he should not be like, for one thing, like just screaming out of nowhere for no reason. That's a sign for there's something going on. You need to get that looked at a little bit, you know?
He reminds me of the over-exaggerated version of Screech on Saved by the Bell, the new class. Not the Saved by the Bell Screech where he wasn't quite as crazy. He was still crazy. But once he became the assistant to the principal, he became, like, totally, like, a dumbass. Like, it was just like,
yeah,
he gets a job in education and he becomes a dumbass. That's what, yeah. But
I'm not sure how that works out, but, so Courtney, again, is just going complete nuts. He's like, I will say this, Courtney is able to find entertainment in anything. So I guess that's, you know, something to appreciate that, you know, he does not get bored easily. So that's nice. I mean, this looks like a town full of boredom because, as you said, I mean, the kids were that excited to see the wisdom tooth. So maybe there's not a lot going on in that town. Maybe they don't have video games in the Corneyverse, you know, or something like that. So,
I mean, Corny's getting all excited about a vending machine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And playing it like it's some kind of slot machine or something. So, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Yeah, exactly. So, and here's the other thing, too. So this teacher, again, with the anti-Corny racism. So the bully ends up putting like a set of like teeth on the seats of the teacher. And then the teacher sits down and then, like, you know, bites her butt, basically. And then she blames Corny for it. Corny's sitting there the entire time.
Yeah, there was no reason whatsoever for her to blame him.
Like he's literally in the front seat in center and can't miss him because of how he looked. And not only that, the sounds he made.
Blaming Corny for that is just like the United States blaming Iraq for 9/11.
It's a metaphor for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a pre-metaphor for about 7 years. But like, so then she, you know, sent him to the office, you know, because of her bigotry against Zarconians. And, but then Corny takes the opportunity to then say he can't go to the dentist because of that for some reason. I don't know. And then they're going to send the dog instead to the dentist office. So the dog's going to replace Corny's appointment, I guess. I don't know. And then
I felt bad for that dog.
I know, me too, because he's like, oh, Bruno needs to go to the dentist, not me. I'm like, okay, we're gonna do this whole bullshit switcheroo.
And my
dog.
But my thing too is the fact that that's a real dog, and he's sitting there being held by this dude in a fucking alien costume.
I know.
Like, that dog's got to be having nightmares.
I don't know. He took it like a champ. I don't know. And then, he probably was traumatized for it. And then, so, the dad, what's his name, David or Adam or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about the friendship speech?
Oh, no. That's right. This is where the conflicts, the weird big conflict. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was supposed to give, like, some speech about, like, NASA, John, in the class. And all of a sudden says, he's getting all nervous. And then he's like, is it okay if I start over and change the subject? Because you can just do that in class, I guess.
Yeah, you can just change the subject of your report, yeah.
And then he just talks about, he gives the most generic talk about friendship. Like, being friends means having friends and being friendly. And when you're friends, you're all friendly to each other. And you have more friends when you have friends. And
right.
I like Friends. Yeah. And Friends is my favorite TV show. And I think Ross is great. And Rachel should have stayed with him. They know they were on a break, but still. Wait, what?
It's just so stupid. Exactly. Yeah. And then, yeah, they make up after, you know, Courtney, you know, couldn't keep the secret. And then right after they make up, they're riding their bikes home. Well, Jonathan's rollerblading, but Courtney's riding his bike, and the girl, I don't know her name, she's doing all these, like, cool, sick bike tricks. Like, one, she's got, like, her foot on the seat, and she's, like, got her other leg, like, I mean, I don't even know how to explain the move she was
doing.
Yeah,
she was just basically, like, doing acrobatic stuff on top of her bike.
And then it was probably a stunt double who did it. But
Sure.
Who knows? Maybe not. But and then Jonathan's like, hey, I dare you.
I mean, sure didn't hire her for her acting skills.
No. She was kind of funny, but like in a really weird way.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, I dare you to do this. And then Courtney's like, no, stop daring me to do this. No, I do. And then so Jonathan's like, okay. And then Courtney then like rides his bike into a telephone pole and then pretends to be dead. And then he's like, oh, that's what you get for daring me to do things I don't want to do. And it's like, but he stopped daring you to do it. So that shouldn't even be a conflict at that point.
No.
And then, but we need to have conflict because somebody read something in the screenplay writing guide that you have to have conflict. So they're like, all right, we'll just have this random weird argument for no reason and then have Corny ride his bike into a telephone pole and then pretend to be dead. And then he goes home and he's like throwing popcorn into his mouth, but like the popcorn's going everywhere on his bed. So, you know, we got ants to worry about now, about in other insects, you know,
Yeah, I mean, they're all flying in the window anyways, so.
Well, yeah, exactly, because the window's always open. And then this mom, Earth mom, is like, doesn't even seem to notice that. Like, hey, maybe don't throw, like, popcorn everywhere in your bed. And then he goes on about this whole thing about, like, oh, I wish they wouldn't dare me to do things I don't want to do. And it's like, this has nothing to do with the story at all. They just made this up, like, for no reason. It's like, pointless to even have this scene.
And like you said, it seems like somebody read a screenwriting book, but I don't think they got through it. Like, they only read the first couple chapters and didn't realize why you have to have conflict and you have to have reasoning for the conflict and you have to have it tie into the story. And, you know, there's all these different, you know, things that a good writer would know. Totally off topic, though. I thought the mom looked really pretty in that scene for some reason when I was watching it. That's another
fun. Yeah, I mean, I noticed that. Yeah, I mean,
she was an attractive woman at the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's what it is. And so he's like, you know, she finally convinces him that, you know, you gotta go to the dentist or whatever, and then blah, blah, blah. And then, that was the night before, because then the next day is when he's the one who skips out of school, and then the dad yells at him, get in the car!
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, fine. And then he's like, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I'm not mad at you. I just wanted to let you know. You know, you got to be brave or whatever. So then, like,
I'm trying to figure out too. Okay, like, Corny left the school, and nobody seemed to notice this.
Nope.
And then, secondly, he's just walking. Corny has a bike. What happened to his bike?
Maybe that kid stole it again. I don't know. That's the other point too. The kid tried to steal their bikes, and they stole Corny's bike instead of Jonathan's because that's the bike he really wanted. But then he couldn't ride Corny's bike correctly because it's a piece of shit. And so then he just got off it and ran away.
If I've learned anything this year, you don't steal. You don't have to steal a bike if somebody just gives it.
Yeah, like with Scott, gave it to
Pete.
Yeah, from Buttercream. Yeah, exactly. Maybe they should have treated this bully the way that they treated Pete and just do, like, psychological trauma by having the entire town aspire together to be nice to him until it just makes him go to a breaking point where he's like, why are you doing this to me? I hate myself. Mm-hmm. I want you to hate me. And then so they go to the dentist, and he's like, now suddenly Corny's acting even more stupid than normal because now he's pretending to be brave. So it just makes it even more cringe when he's doing that than it was when he's acting out and screaming and stuff like that for me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, Capricorn. And he's like, my friend called me Corny. Oh god, I just wanted to slap him when he said that. Like the way he like leans in, oh, I just want to like, decapitate him. Like, and then anyway, sorry,
that got really violent right there.
Yeah, I hate cringe. Cringe.
This whole movie was cringe.
Cringe does something to me psychologically that's just not does to a normal person. You could just kind of get over it, but like when I see cringe, even when I do cringe myself,
yeah,
I just have a response.
I've noticed that there's a lot of like episodes of sitcoms that I really like that have cringy episodes,
yeah,
and I have to skip over those. Like, I can't watch them. It's just, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's like, well, yeah, one of those things that just I can't deal with it. But she takes them into the room, and then she gives them like some fluoride, you know, the fluoride in the water that makes you docile, like the Nazis put into the water. No, I'm just kidding. And then that's one of the conspiracy theories, that fluoride makes humans docile so they obey the government or whatever. So she gives them the government.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. I obey the government now.
Yes, I obey the government. So she gives Courtney the government obeyer juice, and then tells them to swish.
They sell that right next to Capri Sun.
You got the government obeyer juice. And we remember Sprite said obey the thirst. That was a subliminal message. It was saying obey the government, Jesus, is what it was. Or, you know, yeah, he got that right next to the Capri Suns and the Sun Kissed and stuff. And then, which Corny's not allowed to drink anymore, of course. And then she's like, you got swish this for a full minute. And he starts with another cringe right there. Him doing the swishy motion, I hated the way that looked. That was so cringe to me. I hated his face so horribly. I just wanted to, like, punch it, you know. And then I know I kicked the child, you know. And so
it was an adult playing him, so.
Well, true, but in the Cornyverse, he's a child. And then Alan Thicke comes in, you know, the Dr. Dresden or whatever his name is, and he's like being really nice and gentle, and he's just kind of telling them, you know, what the procedure is going to be and all this kind of stuff. And then
go ahead. Alan Thicke, when he's acting at the beginning, he seems like he's so fucking bored.
Yeah.
like he was hung over or something from the night before when he's doing his back. Don't know what the hell. It's like, he's like, man, I gotta, you know, I've gotta pay for that swimming pool in the backyard or something, you know? So
right.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's fine. And like, he just, and like, apparently this is like the fastest cavity filling in the history of the world, because this goes on for like 2 minutes and apparently the procedure is done. And mind you, this cavity is like 8 years old, so I'm not sure how that was going on that quickly.
That tooth would have had to have been pulled. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, maybe zirconian teeth are different. I don't know. But, and like, they made this big thing where you talked about the jackhammer and shit like that. And then Corny's like screaming again. I'm like, come on, I can't hear Corny scream one more time in this movie. Of course.
At one point, he says something. I don't know. I got some of my notes. I can't remember where it is in there, but he says something that Corny should get a job as a professional stamp licker.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah. Because his tongue was very big, and he's got weird, like, M&Ms in his tongue for some reason, which...
It reminds me of those commercials where those Skittles commercials where the person has the Skittles all over their body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably where they got the idea from. They probably watched this and then let's like come up with some ideas. Let's look at some obscure shit no one's ever heard of. And then we'll just steal ideas from it. No one's going to claim anything because no one remembers it happened. I bet you the actors and the writers in this don't even remember making this. So, and
I'm sure Alan Thicke did not remember this, like, long after he recorded it. Yeah.
There's no way he remembered it. I bet you if you showed us the Robin Thicke, he would almost feel embarrassed, like, the fact that his dad made this movie. And
oh, I'm sure.
Even though it was like 5 minutes of the entire film or whatever. I mean,
this is more cringe than The Masked Singer. So, but I love The Masked Singer, though. So.
No, me too. It's good. But yeah, this is way. And yeah, so they fix his teeth. You know, he promises to brush and floss, not eat so many candy bullshit, whatever. Of course, he's not going to listen to that. And then just as they're leaving, he gets to go to the treasure box to find some dinosaur looking thing or whatever.
Well, it's a zirconian action figure. Why the fuck does Dr. Dresden have a zirconian action figure?
So apparently there's enough knowledge about Zarkon among the people of Earth to make an action figure, I guess, of a Zirconian. I don't know.
Because he's like all excited, like, this is the one I need for my collection or something. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so they make multiples of these things, and then, I don't know, whatever. So then he gets his little Zirconian guy or whatever, and then just as they're about to leave, the bully's mom is taking him to the dentist because he's got a problem. He's like whimpering and crying about not wanting to go to the dentist.
A little trivia, though. The person playing his mom had the same last name as him, so that makes me think it was probably his real mom.
Probably, yeah. And then so then Corny's being nice to him and just telling him, you know, you gotta be brave or whatever, and here, you could take my action figure or whatever. And then Jonathan's like, why would you do that? Because he's sitting there taunting him right in front of his mom and then his dad too, and it's like, dude, don't start a fucking, like, fight here, you know? And then,
yeah, John is a dick. John is totally a dick.
He is. He's a total asshole in this episode. And then, maybe the third episode or fourth will explain what's going on there. But, like, and so, this wasn't even out of the goodness of Corny's heart. So we could see a manipulative streak in Corny's personality, which is likely brought off from all the trauma and the bullying and the abuse that he suffered.
Do you think it was not out of the kindness of his heart that he gave him the
no
action figure?
Well, because he said, he told Jonathan, he goes, because he knows that I know that he's also afraid of the dentist. So it's basically like saying, like, aha, I've got this secret out of him.
Oh, okay.
Like, so that's the way I took it, at least.
I think it could have been both things. Like, you know.
It could be. And then the kid gives it back to Jonathan and tells him that Corny could have it because he doesn't want it. Probably because it's a freaking weird action figure of a zirconian. And there you go. I think that's the episode.
But also they say that, you know, now the nameless bully and Corny are friends.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Don't know how.
And then we have a little music video at the end.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, God,
and
yes.
They had the name of the band up there. Do you know what the name of the band was?
No.
9 Inch Aliens.
Oh, my God.
I think that's Trent Reznor's, like, side project.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It totally sounded like something he would record. Not at all.
He wanted to record these, like, kid-friendly, you know, songs about being brave.
But he didn't want anybody to know it was him, so he hid the name really well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, music video was fire, though. That was good shit.
Yeah.
Really good song.
It had the riz, as the kids say.
Oh, God.
I'm just using, like, slang in a way that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't even know what Riz means, to be honest.
It's so based, man.
I know what based means, but Riz...
Riz means charisma.
Is that what it means?
Okay. Yeah. It's just short for charisma. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at a wedding recently that I was working a photo booth at, and there were these kids at the thing, like, not kids, but kids to me. They were like probably about 10 years younger than me, and they were all sitting there, you know, all these new slang words are weird. I don't understand. What does Riz mean? And then I spoke up and I was like, it means charisma. And they all looked at me like, why does this old dude know what that means? No. But yeah.
Well, I just like looking up words myself. So
I don't know. I just happened to put it in context and realize what it meant. And then it ended up, I think it's in the Webster's Dictionary now. So yeah.
Oh, God. Wow.
So that was pretty much the whole movie.
That was Corns for you.
Yep.
Being brave, acting brave, being feeling scared, acting brave.
Kid's Guide to Courage.
And we got two more, which hopefully I'll be able to convince Mike to, well, at least one of them, because the other one's just a workout video. There's really nothing.
I don't want
to
watch the workout video.
No, I do not. I watched like 2 minutes of it, and I'm like, I can't deal with this. Like,
I watched about the same. So
I was like, I can't do it because like Corny's just acting complete fucking idiot again. I'm like, I can't deal with this, Corny. Yeah. Stop acting stupid.
At least it's the real Corny this time.
Yeah, it's the real one. But like Corny needs to stop being a class clown. And it could be funny. It's fine. But you know, you don't need to disrespect yourself to be funny, okay? Like quit screaming while you got dental floss and you're making weird ass noises while you're brushing your teeth while everyone else is acting normal. Just stop it. Be a normal person, okay?
What you gotta do.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Well, anything else to say here?
No.
Okay, so folks, you know what this time is? It's our call for action. We need you to go out there, be brave, get some courage, and we need you to go to all2real2.com and check out all of our shit on there. And then be brave and share our podcast with all your friends. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on now. We're available like everywhere. If you don't like the platform you're listening to us on now, go to another one and listen to us there.
Yeah.
Because we're there, you know, all the places like the Apple podcast, the Google podcast, the Spotify, the, you know, the who's it's and the what's it's. And, you know, we're on social media. There's links to all that in our website too, all2real2.com. Check out our TeePublic. We have some, nice buttercream and, other merchandise on there. I added a shirt recently that says, Diet Cult. looks like a Diet Coke can, but it says Diet Cult. I think you would enjoy that one. It's in reference to our Boy Meets World cult fiction episode. And, you know, do that, you know. But, I mean, the most important thing is to, you know, subscribe, share the show with everybody. Also, you know, those are just things you can do for free. Also, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or on Spotify or wherever you can give a review. That's about it. And be sure to be brave, you know, act smart, you know, do what you got to do. Don't be a pussy like Corny. And I don't know what I'm saying. And just remember that I love you. Sesame loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.